I am Jimbo Paris, and you are listening to the Jimbo Paris Show. Hello, everyone. I am Jimbo Paris. Welcome again to the Jimbo Paris Show. And today we have Lena Ivanova. She is a communication coach, business trainer, and also a TED speaker. So, very impressive resume. Let's learn more about her and see what she has to say.
Hello, hello, Jimbo.
Okay, it's great to meet you.
Thank you, great to meet you too, and thank you for having me. By the way, congratulations with your episode of 110 of your show.
Pleasure is all mine. So, what is your background and profession?
Yeah, my background. So, as you mentioned now, I am communication coach and business trainer. One small detail, I am not a TED speaker, but I am a TEDx speakers coach mentor. So I help people to get themselves ready for TEDx talks. And so my background basically is that I came to what I do now through a long way, I would say, because many years ago I was into organizational consulting, and I've been doing that for the companies, making company diagnoses and plans for development and restructuring and creating missions, creating the change conceals for the companies. But at some moment of time, I just switched. That was, you know, my journey. That was just the twist on my way. So now I do what I do, and I help people to unmute themselves, and I also help them to tell their stories, because all of us, like everyone, we have the story to tell.
And how long have you been doing this?
Combined, I would say that, you know, being an organizational consultant 10 years ago, I started, I think, 10 years ago, and somewhere in the middle, I switched, like twisted a little bit, and I was doing both. So I can say that already for 10 years, I'm a business trainer, and I just a little bit changed the audience because I was previously working mainly for the companies in corporate world. And now I focus on individuals. I just aim to help as much people as possible to find their voice.
And why did you decide to choose this career?
When I've been working with the companies, not for a really long time, but for some time, I've been struggling with some kind of insecurities. Although I was certified as organizational consultant, actually I was certified in English, and I was conducting sessions in other language, and then later in English as well. I had a lot of insecurities of me being trainer and speaking foreign language doing so. Also, I was doing very managerial stuff, I would say. I was helping companies to identify some points of improvement in overall points of improvement everywhere in the company and to create ways to fix them. And that was not the ideal like client, I would say. I was serving the company, the business. And what I noticed, I was very much like all the time, all my life, I was very much into people always. And, you know, like personal communication, one-on-one communication. So that was really a fascinating area for me all the time. And at some point, I just shifted. I just started to talk more about personal stuff as well, not only about corporate stuff. And I started to move into that direction.
Okay. And how often do you set goals for yourself?
Actually, that is amazing you asked, because this is the end of the year, and for me, this is the best time to put the goals for yourself, for me as well. I also reconsider the previous year all the time, like in different areas of my life. And I just like to have a few goals in front of me for the next year in different areas as well. So that can be something personal, something for my coaching business, something for my closest circle. And I think about these short-term goals, like for the next year, as well as about long-term ones. Like every year, I reconsider all of that. And of course, I do that also in the course of the year, all the time. Do you put goals for yourself, by the way? I'm so much interested.
Oh, thank you for asking. So, yes, I do set, I wouldn't say I set goals, but I set aspirations. Mm-hmm. In the sense that maybe a goal that I have in the future is to hit 100 new subscribers in the next 4 months. But it's around that range. So if it's 90 or 80, I'm still okay with that. But mm-hmm. those are sort of the goals I set. You know, they're smart goals. They're measurable, they're achievable, they're reasonable, and they're also time oriented. If that mm-hmm. does that make sense?
Absolutely. That is the best way to do that. If you are talking about smart and time-bounded goals as well, like from my experience, I can say I would even suggest you to put the exact date. And not only 4 months ahead, for example, and I'm sure you will reach your goal. And I noticed in my practice that then you put the specific date, that helps a lot.
That's very interesting. And one thing that really caught my attention too is you also have a lot of people that are non-native speakers, right? That may not be versed in English, I'm assuming.
Actually, I would say that is my audience, and these are the people I'm serving. I support, I help, I strive to help, because that is my story, my struggle as well. Right now, I'm living in Poland, and for example, I'm working in English, and big chunk of my social life and my professional life is going on in Polish. Both non-native for me. So I've been there where you need to break the barrier in speaking foreign language and having it with you as your tool. Also building the communication in some new language as well. So yes, that is my audience mostly, I would say. Non-native English speakers, international professionals, expats, and yeah.
Excellent. And how do you find purpose in your work?
I would tell you the following. For example, we mentioned TED and TEDx conferences in the very beginning. I'm a big fan, first of all, and also in my practice, I help people to get ready for TEDx conferences here in Warsaw. And of course, I attend a lot. And for me, the purpose is for people, when you speak, to, you know, together, like, what? Tell me more. Just, I want to hear that. Because great ideas get lost sometimes because of bad delivery. So that is my purpose. I want people to have tools in their hands to deliver their message. Yeah.
The next question I have for you is, what makes you feel more empowered?
If to talk about my work, what I do, for example, with my clients, I would say that their results, this is something, and when they are really excited with the results. So I just like to see that emotions. And for example, I have several courses like English Boost and Public Speaking Boost. And recently when I finalized one of my courses, this is like level one, break your communication barrier. And that is the first boost. And one lady, one of the participants, she wrote to me that, you know, I've been breaking my barrier in speaking English, but at the same time, being in Croatia for a while, I was supposed to learn Croatian language. And that helped me in both languages. So she just managed to level up both of her new languages for her, I would say so. Like, not the languages themselves, but the communication. She was able to communicate better, smoothly, to get her message across, her idea, and to talk to people around, and to start looking for a new job. So that was just great.
And did this same experience inspire you to sort of become a speaker?
I think my role is not to be, very often, it is not to be in the light, but bring people to the light. And that is mostly what I do, even if to take, for example, TEDx Warsaw Women, where I help people to get ready for the stage, you know, to get their ideas structured, delivered, and practiced well, in order to for audience to get it, to be inspired, and to act based on that. So I like to speak, actually. I like to speak to communicate with people, but I see my purpose more in empowering others to speak. Like, this is my power. This is my power. I can do that. I can unmute people. And more specifically, I do that for people who want to unmute themselves in English when it is not their native language. So I help them to break initial barriers, start communicating, I don't know, get some goal achieved, maybe new position. And then we go further. We go into public speaking proficiency, you know, that being more persuasive, clear, concise. So that is what I do.
And where does your passion for public speaking come from?
So I think the message needs to get across. And for example, we need to catch the attention of our audience fast, like quickly in the very beginning. We have seconds. If you have a long presentation, maximum a minute in the beginning to catch the attention and to make people believe the person they need to listen to. So that is my passion. That is why, you know, we should catch people. We definitely have something to say.
That was quite interesting.
Thank you. What about you? Do you feel like you have some idea you want to get across to all the people? Because I see what you are doing with the show, for example, getting a lot of curious and successful people. You interview them, you like attract them to your show. If you had one message to tell, what message you want to bring to other people? If you only have one to bring.
Well, it's really only one word, empowerment.
Empowerment. You know,
this is the reason why I have people on this show. It is to essentially showcase successful people that can potentially help to resonate with others and maybe motivate them to pursue the same goals that these other people have. For example, with this interview, Mrs. Ivanova, if someone looks at this and some woman sees this and thinks, huh, one day I want to be a communication coach as well, that would have succeeded in my purpose in running this show and running this business. So that's sort of one of the goals I have. And this is why I focus so heavily on detail and organization on this show. And thank you for asking that.
That is wonderful. And I wish you that with all my heart, to empower as much people as possible and for people to get inspired by your show and people you get here.
Definitely. So jumping back to you now, what experience in your past haunts you the most with public speaking?
If to tell about my personal experience, also, you know, I consider public speaking, not all this as a speaking to big audiences and a lot of people. Every time I start with air communication, sometimes the air communication, this is one-on-one as well. So my idea is to go from this small range around us and to go further, like to expand that range. And I think each of us can go gradually, like step by step, coming out of personal communication to speaking to the small audiences and then to bigger audiences as well. And public speaking for me is actually about bringing the value. And in my personal experience, I would say that I had an example in my professional practice as organizational consultant. At some moment of time, like I was insecure in many situations. I was feeling, you know, like, who am I to tell all that people? What are they supposed to do here and there? And at some moment of time, I realized that is not about me. Absolutely. Like any public speaking is not about you. That is about people you're talking to. So for me, public speaking is to bring the value, whether it would be a small talk, even small talk after that for a bigger audiences as well. So my personal experience is to switch that focus. I was insecure, like thinking, who am I, you know, like all that imposter syndrome. And I realized I need to think about what would be the result for people whom I'm talking to. And that is true for all the public appearances we have, like all of us have. Switch the focus and think about the people. So that is my idea.
And at what stage can you say you are an effective public speaker?
First of all, then people pay attention when you speak in that very moment. And second of all, if your message gets across and they take action based on what you brought to them. I know, like people, they, for example, when we speak to people, first of all, like really small amounts, tiny portion of what we say stays for a long time. I don't know, like from 2 to 5%. And this is like mind-blowing number, like mind-blowing. Only this small portion of what we will say will stay with people. That is why we always need to have one specific message we want to leave them with. And when I help people to get themselves, to get ready for any public appearances, I start with that. With what you want to leave people with, like after you are out of the stage, virtual stage as well, like in our case, like what they need to take with them out of that talk. So if you are a good and lucky speaker, they pay attention when you are on stage and they remember what you've said after. And also take action, preferably.
Okay. And you mentioned sort of listening and engaging with the audience, but what are some ways you can sort of persuade your audience to side with the argument or the point you're trying to make during a presentation?
There are two parts in everything we do when we act as public speakers, like every time we speak with people, actually. There is a part which is connected with your content, like what exactly you are saying. And another part is delivery, how you are doing that. So you can find the ways to be persuasive in both. And I help people to check, are they able to identify their goal and their audience, to get the proper structure for their idea, message, and talk, to be interactive, and to use some storytelling. I'm a big fan of storytelling. And I think story helps you to be persuasive. Like, it's just an amazing tool for being persuasive. Like, stories, they just grab our attention. This is content part. And if we look at the delivery part, we need to see how the person, you know, the presence, even which can consist of visual part, like you being there, even your slides, if they're there as well, I don't know, everything around you, ambience. Then we go to the voice. How do you sound? Your body language. So what is going on with your body? And confidence, you know, like overall confidence level. So for me, these are crucial parts where you can fix, like step by step, few things in order to be persuasive and get your message across. And confidence helps a lot, I think so, yes. Like the set of tools you can have and confidence. If you have your goal in mind and you are going there, you are getting it, you will probably be there. So my idea is vocabulary doesn't matter, actually. For example, even if we do a lot of mistakes, I'm non-native speaker, I work in English, I know I do mistakes, and I just focus on the value, what I can bring. So that is my idea. You can be persuasive if you increase your toolbox, let's say, you know, like you add additional tools to your presentation practices, for example, to your presentations. And vocabulary, no mistakes, this is not the main point. The value you bring is the message you bring, the idea. So let's get across what we need to say.
Okay, I get it now. So when it comes to that toolbox, what specific lessons have you learned along the way?
Let me stop, for example, on a storytelling part, because I mentioned that I consider storytelling part is one of the essential ones when we think about creating the content of what we need to tell people. And I clearly see that when we start telling stories, people get involved. So we are basically biased to listen to the stories. Like centuries ago, our survival was dependent on that, right? Like we were supposed to listen to the stories around the fire. Otherwise, tomorrow you won't survive. And that is why we start hearing stories. We're immediately there. Like we want to know what will happen further. And if to say about specific tools, I cherish a lot. Storytelling would be among the best of them, where I learned across the way. Like if you tell stories, if you bring specific examples, if you can involve people in your story, so you can get your message across persuasively. But I'm not talking about, you know, just telling stories, like throwing stories all around and taking 30 minutes to tell your story. Nope. I'm telling about very specific tool then, including even sometimes personal story into your presentation for 1 minute or 1 minute and a half. You can fit the story with your point for people to get to listen to you. So if to talk about specific tools, I would underline storytelling.
Now, I notice, you know, you seem like a very energetic, very positive person, and I can definitely feel that from you. And the sort of the next question I have is, how do you sort of cultivate, you know, this sort of positive work-life balance?
I think that my path brought me to the point where I am, like to my luck. And when I talk about what I do and how I support people, for example, if you felt that energy, that is because I feel it and I am just happy to tell about that. And I got lucky, actually, to get to do what I love to do. And actually, I invited myself to, and I invented the niche for myself, which is really close to my values. Because I am a communication coach who supports mostly non-native international professionals in being persuasive, in getting their message across, to get ready for the big presentations and public talks. And that is my story. So I just combined all together the experiences I had along the way. And I started to do that and I just invented it. So I think maybe because I focused specifically on what I see in the area I can bring the value. I'm just lucky to have this thing I do now and which brings me energy. You know, also the balance for me to do what I love, what I'm doing here. And I just take energy from people around. I serve people in what I do and I cherish the life with my closest people, like with my family, my husband, with my two kids, friends, family. And this is like the circle of energy I'm in.
And what's one big misconception about your work?
Because I am, you know, like I do something very specific. I help people to break their barrier than their non-natives do. Like this is the initial step I help them with, to break the barrier and speak in English. And I focus on achieving their goals, help them to achieve their goals, put the goal, achieve the goal. But the problem I have is to define my message so well for it not to be the English language school. So I'm not an English language teacher. I do not teach any grammar. You know, I do not do reading, essays or something like that. I'm very focused on what I do. And this is communication skills, speaking skills, also achieving your goals. I combine that public speaking skills I have with the coaching practices, which are my tools as well. So this is my big misconception, which I also think depends on me. This is my responsibility to define my message really well, not to be perceived as another English speaking club or school or language school or something like that. So this is my problem, and I need to just to define that well. Yeah.
And when things go wrong during a presentation, how do you react or improvise?
That's a wonderful one. You know, the best thing you can do, just pause, grab your thoughts, and continue. If you need to fix something in the middle, fix it. Do not hide. I even don't suggest to hide it. Just be open, pause, fix, and continue. So that would be my recipe.
Okay. Mrs. Ivanova, this has been an excellent, excellent interview, and I definitely learned quite a bit. But before we end this off, though, is there any advice that you can give to the audience? Any ways people could reach out to you as well?
Let me start with the advice. What I would suggest to do for everyone who is going to be persuasive with the talks, presentations, or whatever, think about the people and about the value you are bringing to them. Very often we get stressed out because we think about us. Think about people around. Think about the value you are bringing to them. And so you can reach me on Instagram. I'm pretty active there. Also on my LinkedIn page. And yeah, I think links would be here, just in the description of the show, right, Jimbo?
Yes.
Yeah, so you just can reach me out there, and I would be happy to talk to you. And, you know, also, if you will see my Instagram, I have some tips for speakers there as well.
Okay, well, thank you again. So
thank you so much, Jimbo. That was a pleasure to talk to you.
No problem. And before we end this off, I'm just going to do a few quick shout outs. The first one is going to be Judy Ryan. She is our LifeWork Systems affiliate and collaborative partner. She's essentially an HR superstar. She goes into large corporate businesses and improves their overall HR infrastructure. So if you want more connections, you need me to sort of be your window to reach out to this woman and sort of help your business be a better collegial environment, please let me know. Next thing is our YouTube channel. Subscribe to it now. We are at 102 subscribers finally. So again, thank you for hitting our first hallmark here. So continue ringing that bell, continue subscribing if you want to stay in touch to more good episodes like this. The next thing is our Roku channel. This will be on Roku TV as well as all of our other episodes. So again, buy a Roku box, not just for this show, but in general. Buy a Roku box and you could watch all our episodes there. And then the final thing I have to mention is Jimbo Paris Services. We're a service provider now. I have personally worked with many different corporate businesses now, a few big names such as GE, and I've worked with them to sort of improve their own audience growth, and I've allowed them to market to younger audiences using my consulting advice and degree. So if you want any help with that, if you want to reach out to somebody who could help improve your marketing outreach, please let me know as well. All right. I'm Jimbo Paris. This is the Jimbo Paris Show. Thank you again.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.